In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Just to recap, God promised Abraham that he would have children through Sarah, as many as the stars of the sky and the dust of the earth. Now, the child wasn't coming. And so what does Sarah do? She says, "Go and lie with Hagar, my servant." Here we have the experience of taking things into our own hands, going out of the will of God, and the only thing that happens is trouble. Ishmael has been against Isaac from the very beginning. Ishmael, we talk about the Arabs. Isaac, we talk about the Jews. So we talk about, because they took things into their own hands, that's what happens. And that's same with us. We want to be in the will of God. We want to be in His will always, to do what He says and to do how He says it. And we want that for us, because when we get out of the will of God, what happens is that we suffer and things aren't good, and they just blow up in our face. I'm looking at the 18th chapter of Genesis. "And the Lord appeared unto Abram in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." As I said, it was at 12 o'clock. "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, three men," these are three angels, they stand for the Trinity, "stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." I have it in my notes. This is how we are to live. "Begging the stranger to let me serve him. Do not go away. Let me serve you. It is the way of the desert." This is what Abraham is going to do. "And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray, from thy servant. Let there be a little water, I pray you, be fetched to wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." This is the way of the desert, to care for the stranger. But not only is this the stranger, but this is a visitation from God. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you to come to your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, this is veal, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had tossed, and set in before them. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. This is beautiful, you see. This is what we have lost in the church. We have lost the whole experience of caring for the stranger, of allowing the stranger to come into our house, and caring for that person, because that person is Jesus. We have not gone that way. We are into our own little worlds now. We have our computers, we have our microwaves, we have our clickers that change the television. We don't care about what happens. Yesterday, we had a visit from a broken man because he lost his wife. And the only thing I could give him was a listening ear and a comforting word and a sandwich to eat. But you see, that it was Jesus who came to me yesterday. That was Jesus who came to me yesterday. I did the best I could and then sent him on his way. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? These are the three angels. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door that was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased with Sarah after the manner of women, that she ceased to have her period. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? We also remember that Abraham laughed too in the preceding chapters, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And this is a saying that we need to keep on understanding and believing. Nothing is too difficult for God. When God promises something, God will do it with the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. Place your problems beside the big God and see that your problems will shrink, because nothing is too hard for God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At that time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, you know, you did laugh. Now we go into the doom of Sodom. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, the three angels. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I am about to do, to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? Again, is anything too difficult for God? He will become a great nation from Isaac, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So we bless the Jewish people today. We bless the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All the people shall be blessed in him. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. What is the way of the Lord? It is to live by faith. It is to live by faith, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him, that there would be as many children as the stars in the sky and the dust of the earth. And I, the Lord, said, behold, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. The sin of homosexuality went up to God. Their sin was very grievous. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is to come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will you destroy the righteous? Remember, the righteous live by faith, with the wicked. Will you destroy the righteous who live by faith with the wicked? Perhaps there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you destroy the place for 50 righteous people in them? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as wicked and be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? In other words, we see Abraham starting to barter with the Lord. You never experience bartering until you go to the Middle East. You never buy something at the price that they are saying, I will want this many dollars, and you say, I'm going to barter. Abraham barters with the Lord. If there are 50 righteous people, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said, if I find Sodom and Gomorrah 50 righteous within the city, I will spare the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am I'm only dust and I'm only ashes. Perhaps there shall be five less than 50 righteous people, 45. Will you destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy the city. See the bartering that's going on? And he spake unto him yet again and said, perhaps there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40 righteous people's sake. Righteous live by faith. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Perhaps there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon thee to speak unto the Lord. Perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry if I speak yet again. Perhaps 10 shall be found there, 10 righteous men, 10 who live by faith. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah rose up to the Lord. I want to tell you that we in the United States have become sex addicts, not only men with men and women with women, but men with women and women with men. How many people that are supposedly Catholic that live together before they get married? How many people find that they live together? And that's wrong. That's wrong. It never was right. It never will be right. And we in the United States have gone the way of all flesh. One of the worst things that ever happened was the internet. You can look at pornography without anyone knowing it. At least before, if you wanted to buy pornography, you had to go to a store and look in someone's eyes. No more. You can do it in the secret of your room. This is disgusting. This sin goes up to the Lord. The Lord knows what we are doing. He is always keeping track of what we are doing, whether we live by faith or we live by sight. Chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom in the evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, again paying homage to the stranger. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, come into my house, and stay the night, and wash your feet, and rise up early and go your way. And he said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Again, we see what they do to the stranger. The stranger is filled with hospitality. This is something we've lost. This is something we've lost. We're too busy to be hospitable. We're too busy to care for people. We are so involved in our own lives. We need to see that God wants us to be hospitable, to listen to people. I'm going to tell you how I learned how to pray with people. When people would call on the phone, I would listen, I still do, and then I would pray with them because they left their burden out, and I would pray about the burden. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself toward down to his face to the ground, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, in your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and rise up early. And he pressed upon them greatly to stay, and they stayed. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house. This is the homosexuals, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came to thee by night? They're looking to have sex with these men. Bring them out to us that we may know them. Know them. Adam knew Eve. In the 9 months they gave it a name. This is the sexual act. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not act so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. This is another stupid thing that Lot does. He wants to give his daughters in place of these men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Lot's not living by faith. He's living by sight. And do ye dear to them as good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing. Why? Because they're under his house, under hospitality, and their sin is the sin of homosexuality. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he needs to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to the break of the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. Who did this? The angels, the Trinity. So that they wearied themselves to find the door. They're blind. And the men said unto Lot, have you here any besides son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whatsoever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. This is the angel saying this. We're going to destroy this place. Why? Because they didn't find even 10 righteous men. They didn't find even 10 men who lived by faith. Because the cry of them has waxed great before the face of the Lord. Yes, the sin of homosexuality waxed before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, get up, arise, take your wife, your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. They're going to destroy the city for two reasons. For the sin of homosexuality, and for the sin of going against hospitality. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of the two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, neither stay you in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and has magnified thy mercy, and thou hast showed unto me saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape to this city, to this little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing. You can go to the little city. I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you be out. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, and the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. When the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. She was told not to look back, and she became a pillar of salt. You know, it's much easier to do what God tells us to do rather than to do what we want to do. We always get into trouble when we do what God does not want us to do. And he warns us not to look back. I remember the story of Linda. She had been a drug addict, and she went to visit some Christian people in the southern state. And she was without drugs. And the thing is that the family put her back on the plane and said, go back to be with Christian people and never look back. Don't look back. So she's on the plane, and comes next to her a man, and they're flying high, 35,000 feet into the air, and the man says to her, I have all the drugs that you want. The only thing you need to do is look back. She was being tempted. She left the seat and took another seat. You see, looking back. Once we've asked the Lord to forgive our sins, the sins are forgiven. We do not need to look back. What good does it do to look back? It doesn't do any good to look back. It only makes us feel guilty. It only makes us feel tormented. We are never to look back. We need to look at Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. No looking back. No looking back. Let me see where I am. Abraham gives birth to Isaac. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Again, God will do to us what he promises to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore, Isaac. The name means laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son, remember, the sign of the covenant, Isaac, after 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all here will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abram that Sarah should have given children nursing? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. You see, God does what he's going to do to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. You've got to have patience with God, because God doesn't work on our time. He works in his time. Have patience. When God promises something, he will do it. You need to have patience. God promises something, he will do it. Why? Is anything too difficult for God? Is anything too hard for God? Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. Look at your circumstances and see the big God beside your circumstances. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too hard for God. I want to invite you between the 19th and the 25th of July to the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. If you would like to sign up, you go to www.daysofglory.org/register. daysofglory.org/register. This is the time when the Holy Spirit is going to do things that only God can do. We will meet together between the 19th and the 25th of July, and God will be active. We know God will be active. He has been active in the years before, and he will be active again. We need to see the action of God. We need to see the action of God. Somebody came to us and said, we haven't got the money to go. You come anyway. You come anyway. If you don't have the money, you come anyway, and we let you in. This is about, it's all about giving the Holy Spirit an atmosphere to work in so that people will be healed, people will be blessed, and people will be delivered. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.